Hi, I'd like to welcome you all to this evening's meeting and ask you to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Rennell?
Oh, thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the
flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Unfortunately, I need to again ask for a moment of silence for a student, an 11th grade student, Jillian Lambert, who left us too soon. Thank you. On a positive note, I would like to thank all of our high school administration, guidance counselors, psychologists, social workers, and all the other amazing people in this district who supported our students, our staff, and Jillian's family during a very, very difficult time. So thank you. Is our high school representative here? No, and not our middle school. Okay. He was absent. Got it. She's absent. Board announcements. Jody?
Last week, I had the pleasure of attending the ENL department's Celebration of Diversity, which was amazing. I was blown away by everybody's presentations, all the information about the various countries, the food. My goodness, you don't have to eat dinner if you ever go again. You don't have to eat dinner before you go. There's plenty to munch on there. Everything was just, and I had both my kids with me, and the presentations, I was so happy to see how kid-friendly they were. Even there was one booth there where they had Fifth Harmony songs playing in, like, seven different languages. So all the educational aspect was very, it was very kid-friendly. It was just a great, I mean, we had a fantastic time. It was just terrific.
Thank you. Lauren?
I also had a great time at the Challenger basketball game, which I know was a highlight this past week from Dr. Lewis, but it was one of my very exciting highlights. I think I now have a heart condition from watching that game because it was a nail biter. Literally, I think within the last 10 seconds, we wound up tying the game with a three-pointer shot, But in all honesty, I never saw such incredible sportsmanship. The coaches were unbelievable. The aides were amazing. The crowd that came out from their teachers, administrators, parents. I mean, you couldn't get a seat. I mean, this was like the hottest game. Forget the Final Four. This was like the most amazing basketball game. My son's on travel. I mean, wish we got like a crowd like this. But this is amazing. So I was just so proud to be part of their tied up three-pointer tie championship game. It was great. It was great. So congratulations to the Hawks for that. Also wanted to make mention that I went to Dr. Lewis's book club. I wish it was more attended. I hope everybody read the book. And I really think that to be a parent, you should read the book because I learned a lot about myself as a parent. I learned about mistakes that if I didn't make, I'll probably make. I think that we've all made because we want the best out of our children and from our children. But to allow our children to make their own mistakes. And it's important to let them make mistakes and learn from them. So without getting too involved. But I really highly recommend
the book.
I really do. And
mention the name of the book.
The Gift of Failure. I read it a while ago, but it was great, and it was a nice discussion, so thank you for that.
Thank you, and I want to tell everybody that Lauren kept us on the game, what the score was, what was going on, so we were all there, even though some of us couldn't be there. Rennell?
I'm sure Lauren spoke about it last time when I wasn't at the meeting with regard to the firehouse. And I just have to reiterate that it was an incredible night. The delivery was excellent. I loved the strong presentation that... Well, I thought everybody knew. The topic was about drugs and the fact that the fire department responds every week to an overdose. And it's just very, very scary. And just the way they spoke and spoke to the kids, I think we're so in tune with keeping our kids safe that we frequently speak to them not as strongly as we possibly could in a lot of situations, and this was really, really, really strong. I thought that the gentleman in charge, who was a policeman as well as a fireman, I believe, was really almost angry, but not angry to where the kids would be frightened, but showing them the ways that they, if they get involved, what could happen. They had a recovering addict, and I think that I'd love to have that speaker in. I don't know if you mentioned it or not, but I'd love to bring him here because I think that he really had a fantastic way of delivering that message. And I think we all have to really be tougher than we have been in the past. It's whatever we've been doing, I don't think is working, and it's really, we're just losing too many kids, so I think that would be fantastic, having him in, speak with the kids. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Superintendent announcements.
It's not fair that I always have to go last.
Maybe one time we'll let you go first.
Because you guys are so good and you attend everything. You know what? I just want to pay tribute to the staff. We've had a very, very tough week. And I'm just... You have to know what a family, the POB family, is when we have the need arise, and it arose at the high school. Every principal, every assistant principal, every guidance counselor, every psychologist, every social worker moved to the high school to support children. And I also want to pay tribute to Jim. First of all, you write better than anybody I know, and you just happen to, Jim and Lori, just were very supportive, and Jill organizing the crisis counselors from outside of the district. This is when we do our best work, unfortunately. But that's what families do. You know, we fight, we argue. But when it's time for surrounding ourselves with love, we are at our best. And I just want to say it's great to be a part of this family and know that when anyone is in need, anyone, and I have been personally in need and felt that love, we were at our best last week, even at our worst times. So that's all I'm going to say.
Thank you. Okay, we're now going to go to reports and discussions. Modifications?
Okay, well, we'll run through the superintendent's proposed budget for the last time, so we can get to the modifications.
Oh, because then it'll be our budget. Okay.
And it's yours. We passed the baton.
Okay. Fair enough.
It's still my budget.
Still your budget, as we still await the passing of a state budget. We know they're getting close, but we're not really too sure how close. They're hoping to pass a budget on Friday, but even that isn't guaranteed as they go back and forth and continue to work in Albany. Although we're here really after a relatively somber almost a week now, we do still have a lot to be proud of, and we celebrate those things often. And those things to celebrate continue to grace, really, the school district as we continue to get more news out of the high school with our graduating seniors and students who continue to win awards. We're pressing on with our budgeting cycle. We seem to be moving a little bit quicker along than New York State. And we have now really reached the latter part of the really budget building process, where we have our last day of deliberating over a proposed budget, looking for public input, And then the board adopts a budget towards the end of this meeting, and then it's on to the vote on May 16th. At this point in time, our projected enrollments seem to be holding pretty firm. We have threats to revenue. Obviously, we don't know what to expect to come out of Albany. We know that Albany is concerned about what might go on in Washington as we look for funding in our schools. The national property tax assessment system continues to be rather vague, so no matter what we decide here tonight, it's very difficult to tell our residents exactly what it might cost them on their individual homeowners' property tax bills. We expect to present a budget that is well below our allowable tax levy cap. These numbers should change by the end of today's meeting. However, we have a feeling we're going to be pretty close to what the superintendent originally proposed, although there are some changes to come in this budget tonight. Most of our budget goes towards program directly supplied or really reaching students. Our budget drivers are teacher salaries and related salaries in general and related payroll taxes. Although we've seen a rather large decrease in employee retirement system costs, teacher retirement system costs, that hasn't yet panned out in the ERS system. And of course, health insurance continues to be a big budget driver as well. We've talked quite a lot about the things that make the Plainview Old Bethpage educational experience special, and that really is represented by the $9.9 or almost $10 million at the top of this pie that help us provide something that goes above and beyond what is required. And we'll see a bit more of that with the things that the school board has already changed in the budget, and we'll talk about that a bit more as well as the night goes on. Great things still continue to happen here, great events, and we do service people of all ages, both before they come to us as kindergartners and after they graduate as seniors. The superintendent's proposed budget included an expansion of the one-to-one initiative into the high school in grades 9 and 10, continuing to expand STEAM at all levels, an elementary guidance counselor at K through 4, additional Chromebook carts at the elementary schools and the high school, expanded electives at the high school, and district-wide drug and alcohol counselor. It also include a very wide spectrum of enhanced school safety and security measures, the largest of which really is the hiring of full-time security guards for our elementary schools and middle schools, and also evolving facilities needs, two additional classrooms at Old Bethpage, in part related to development at Beechwood, and also completing our wireless learning environments in the four schools that we don't have a complete wireless learning environment right now. Those would be three elementary schools and JFK High School. We look to support the things that we hold near and dear, and also expand upon them as well. Proposed capital budget projects include the construction of two classrooms, renovation of Stratford Road Elementary School classrooms, in part, is already beginning. Curb, sidewalk, and asphalt replacement at many locations. You should see a lot of that occur this summer. Repair and renovation, which is much needed, of the JFK High School pool filter and pump room. Replacement of the POB JFK High School auditorium house lighting that was not included in our bond projects. Acoustical and lighting enhancements at the POB Middle School auditorium. Those things also were not included in our bond projects, and district-wide security upgrades. We should start seeing some actual work on the district-wide security upgrades beginning before the end of the school year. We're also proposing, and this is something the board acted on at the last board meeting, Proposition 2, which is the establishment of a $25 million capital reserve. We have a full slate of budget presentations if you don't get enough by being here. And don't forget to vote on May 16th. Know your polling place. Okay, and now we'll move into to modifications.
Before you go on, mm-hmm. Rich, tomorrow, April 6th,
We expect to have the groundbreaking ceremonies at Pasadena and Parkway.
Yes.
Do we have a rain date in case it rains? Or
we don't have a rain date.
So we'll break ground whether it's raining or not?
Yes.
Okay.
We're hoping at 4 o'clock it's not raining.
It is supposed to be chilly.
Well, hopefully we're at Pasadena by like 4:20 and it's all wrapped up by 4:30.
Okay, very good. But we'll if the community
quick.
Wants to be so, there.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, we'll
thank
talk
you.
About it. You'll tell me after who will be there.
Okay. Very good.
Okay. How do we want to do the modifications? Do we want to just go down? Now, there are some that you're asking for, so you would need to explain that. But
well, some we voted on.
Yeah, no,
well, the ones we voted on, we won't address.
Right.
The budget is an evolving process. In between last meeting and this meeting, we received some notification about the price of Chromebooks, the ones that we had. We have to make an adjustment for the ones at the high school. In looking at what we're doing, are going to ask for an additional $20,000 to cover some the cost. Am I correct? 20?
It says 60.
It says 60, but
yeah, it said 60. That was something that I had already printed.
I think it's only 20.
We had a late day meeting as we're getting this information, and we think 20 is more appropriate.
Depends on which ones we're moving to carts, which one we're buying is new.
Okay.
So we made some adjustments so that we could be as close to the budget as possible. And so we're going to have to adjust 20,000. We also got some better news on the health insurance, and so we believe that we could remove 200,000 from the budget, and because we have better information.
NYSHIP
about
came out
health.
With more updated information on the 2018 rate for health insurance.
I also attend. Did we have the coding there before?
No.
So one of the things I do, I attended a training for a middle school curriculum, coding curriculum, and it's done by this innovative Codester, and the product is called Codester, and it's a middle school curriculum 5 through 8, and we previewed it, and we would like to be able to implement it in one grade, in the fifth grade, and perhaps with the Project Challenge group as well. And so we would like to add that to the budget. It's an exciting program that we hope will take place in the middle school, but we didn't feel that we were ready to do it in all 4 grades. So that's the 4,000. And at the last board meeting, the board asked if there were other things that we might want to consider.
Right.
The principals went back, looked at their budgets. So I'm actually going from the bottom up.
Right.
Did you notice?
I did.
Okay. So the 18,600 are reading materials, assessment kits that they asked to have in the buildings, but we're doing it as one district code, so it's 18,600.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe there were additional things that the principals asked for, which were like asked about the elementary clubs.
Most of them were already approved.
The elementary,
elementary clubs.
Right. Okay. So that's
so.
It.
Yeah.
And another thing that was
go back and
right.
ask the principals.
And the last time we met, POB Middle School didn't have something on this list also.
Correct. But the elementary, you asked us to speak to the principals, and they said yes. In fact, they were thinking that in the area of music or art that there might be interest. And so I would say that they.
So we're talking about one club initially.
One club for
per
each
elementary.
Elementary start off.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of anything else.
Number 25, Parkway didn't want the Bountas and Pinella assessment kits.
Oh, they already have it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I guess that then they didn't need it.
Right,
so
they got it this year.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so
that covers that.
Okay.
The board still has to engage in the conversation about the 11th and 12th grade
mm-hmm.
Chromebooks.
and the music lab.
Well, no, I thought we said the music lab we were going to wait for a year.
Okay, so that's a definite.
Mr. Murray told us that they needed a year to plan.
So it's a definite no.
So we're holding off.
It's a definite no, but I will not forget it.
It's a definite
for
next
year.
In fact,
I'm putting it in the budget next year.
Right.
Okay. So we've discussed that. We won't have to revisit that.
Okay.
I think that covers everything.
Okay. So do you want me to just run down the list and see if we can get it? Okay. Then can I get a motion? Does anybody have a motion for 11th and 12th grade Chromebooks? Okay. Can I have a motion for the elementary clubs? Jody, second. Lauren, any discussion? All those in favor? Okay. Can I get a motion for the Studio Music Multimedia Club at POB Middle School? Ginger, a second. Seth, discussion? All those in favor? Could we print this larger next time? Because I cannot see it. Oh, that's smaller. Can I get a motion for additional classroom furniture for POB Middle School? Rennell, second. Jody, discussion? All those in favor? Okay. I'd like to make the motion for an additional social worker for the middle school. So can I get a second? Lauren, discussion? Yes.
At the last meeting, there was some discussion among the board as to whether that should be a middle school social worker or whether there should be some additional drug counseling. Can we make sure that the social worker is appropriately trained so that they can handle, you know, sort of both, not just the drug issues, but prepared for those, but also any other emotional or support issues that the middle school may need? Okay.
Absolutely. And I just want to say to the public, last year, this board put in an additional psychologist at the middle school. And so this is over the last 2 years, we've added some social emotional supports at the middle school, and it's absolutely appropriate. So thank you.
All those in favor? Thank you. Can I get a motion for an extra? You don't want to make it
additional.
An additional drug counselor. Not the, there's one in the budget already.
So this would be second.
Okay. Which
My thinking now, I should have covered this before, is that we have one drug and alcohol counselor in the budget. And until we actually have identified the scope and the parameters for this drug and alcohol counselor, I would like to wait for the following year to see and assess. So I would rather that we not add that at this time. Because we're adding the social worker, and we need to figure out exactly what we need. We do have resources within the budget, within titles, that we, if we needed, like for example, if we do need additional supports, as we did with when we had our crisis, we could tap into that. But I think we have to be aware of taxing the system on, you know, we have a lot of new people. Mm-hmm. We have the guidance counselor at the elementary school. We have the additional social worker. We have three new
positions.
So my recommendation is that we hold off on a year before we move on the next.
Everybody,
and you know, I will bring that to you.
Music lab things that will definitely be.
Let me say this. I will be the first.
Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but
I will be the first to say. This is what we need, but we really need to pin down what we're doing with the one that we have rather than add people and not know exactly what. But I will be the first to come back to you and say, yeah, this is really working well, K-12, but I think we might want to target another area more. But I'd rather not add that now.
So then we're going to reduce that from November. It hasn't been added in yet.
It hasn't been added in
yet. It wasn't added in yet.
Okay, can I get a motion on the
Fantas and Pinnell assessment kits for Old Beth Page, Stratford Road, and Pasadena. It was just asked and answered that Parkway already has one. Seth, a second. Rennell, discussion. All those in favor? Okay. Can I get a motion for the middle school coding that Dr. Coatster Lewis just spoke program. About? Coatster. Rennell, second. Seth, all those in favor? Okay. Can I get a motion to reduce the health insurance code by 200,000? Everybody wants to do that. Jody, second. Lauren, is anybody against that? All those in favor? Okay, and then a motion on the adjustment for the Chromebooks due to the unit price. That's $20,000.
Yes.
Ginger,
it's really
second.
Finessing.
Jody, all those in favor? Okay, where are
we?
1.98.
What?
We're at budget to budget 1.98, tax levy 0.86.
We were pretty close to you.
Pretty close to the budget that was presented.
Okay. So I'm assuming even though we have budget adoption next, wouldn't we have that under new business?
Yes, you do.
Okay. Okay. So that concludes our modifications for the budget. Okay.
So could we just, Rich, could you just say what the budget is, the actual amount? And
sure. And I'm going to give it to you also so you have it in writing. The budget that the board is looking to adopt is $152,196,856. Corresponding tax levy, $121,020,994. So I'll bring that to you so you'll be able to read it.
Would you please enlarge that?
Look,
so
I'm
Jacques
trying to read this.
Look.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. Job.
Excellent. And just tell us again what the percent, the levy to levy, and the budget to budget.
Budget to budget is 1.98%, and tax levy is 0.86%.
Yeah, which
didn't you?
See if we can put that in the same frame.
I did. Huh, better than you. Thank you, Rich.
Well, we did.
No.
It's a great budget.
Yeah. And that's
well,
tax levy limit.
We're leaving some stuff on the table.
Yeah.
We're leaving almost $1.1 million on the table. And that's forever. Once you leave it, you can't gain it back the next year.
Okay. I do want to thank Dr. Lewis and Mr. Cunningham and his staff for presenting us with a fabulous budget. And thank the board for all of your hard work in bringing the budget to this point. And we will hopefully adopt the budget during new business. Okay. Now we're going to go on to graduation options.
So the legislative committee has been working closely with SEPTA on some advocacy around the looming diploma problem. Emily Schulman and I, Emily, who is the president of SEPTA, we met with Lori Lynn and Ellie Becker just to talk about some of what's floating out there. You've got different groups advocating for different things, different Board of Educations advocating for different things, just to kind of sit down and hash out what are the problems and what do we really think we want to advocate for in terms of, addressing as a solution to fix what may be broken. It was a very fruitful discussion. You know, we talked a little bit about the RCT. There are some calls to bring back the RCT, but I think in the discussions, we all kind of agreed that the RCT is a little too rudimentary to really meet today's you know, graduation requirements, and that may be a knee-jerk reaction versus what we really need to do to fix this. So together with Emily, we came up with a letter, an advocacy letter that basically calls for a diploma path that doesn't necessarily include Regents exams, but does include less rigorous exams that do cover the Common Core, make sure that the foundation of the Common Core curriculum was met without maybe those high-level reach questions that are becoming so prevalent on today's Regents exams and making them so difficult to pass for certain populations of students. But in sort of sharing the draft, there was some differing views as far as who that path should be available for, and do we want to advocate for that path to be available for specific populations, or do we want to advocate for it to be available for everyone? Because if we're going to advocate, I don't think we can just sort of go to our legislators and the Board of Regents and say, hey, this is broken, you figure it out. I think we need to sort of say this is what we believe the solution to the problem is. So I wanted to sort of get a discussion going around, you know, what are we advocating for?
Did you want to?
Well, that's... And you want me to read Emily's statement first?
Yeah.
Okay. Emily could not be here tonight because she was feeling under the weather, but she did give me a statement that she wanted me to read on her behalf. As you know, state education has recently come out with a dizzying variety of diploma options. None of them addresses the needs of special needs students, and most rely on tests such as the state's Regents exams or even more strenuous tests like the SAT-2. Parents report Regents prep questions that are word-for-word duplicates of MCAT test prep questions. This system is particularly damaging to a subset of special needs students who may have strengths that make life skills classes inappropriate, but who have no hope of receiving a Regents diploma. Moreover, there are other students without IEPs, perhaps undiagnosed, perhaps from other circumstances unable to pass Regents exams, who are leaving school without a meaningful credential that could lead to college, civil service advancement, or military service. I have seen copies of the old RCT and agree that it is so basic in its skills and expectations as to be almost meaningless for today's graduates. I am also very cognizant of the history of low expectations for special needs and other students. But the pendulum has swung much too far in the other direction. I encourage the Board of Education to support subject exams that are meaningful and realistic measures for those students currently punished or tossed aside by the current graduation requirements. So, Emily and I have collaborated very closely, and I agree 100% with her sentiment here. I think it's not just IEP students that we need to consider. You know, in our district, we are very generous with our services, but there are districts where there are kids who should be classified and are not due to budget cuts, due to just, you know, different mechanisms for delivering those services. And, you know, I think we're going to have maybe not a very large population of kids, but we're going to have kids who are basically cut off from a future. You know, these credentials, no military service, no civil service, you know, many businesses do not recognize this. All for, you know, a handful of exams, even after some of them were successful in the classroom. So,
you know, I couldn't agree with you more, Jody, with regard to the special education kids. That's always been something that was near and dear to my heart, and I think it's almost what they're discriminated against when it comes to these things. And we really do have to come up with something that benefits them, as well as the other children who are not classified, but really are not living up to their own expectations for whatever the reason, and they can't do it. So, yeah, I agree with that.
Linda?
Yeah, I think when we first started to talk about this, what we thought the whole law was and what was going to be passed was very mean-spirited. There are a group of children who are not classified but are struggling learners, and every single day they go through pain and stuff, and we're talking about suicide, we're talking about drug addiction, kids that look for a release in other ways. And I shared with Dr. Lewis a letter I had received from a parent of ours, from a high school student who was in the BOCES program, and that this program saved his life, and he just competed in some contest and came in at the top, and he's now being offered jobs upon his graduation at $60 an hour. This is a child that will never pass a Regents exam. This is a child who came into high school reading on a sixth grade level and basically maintained it. And with the help of the high school, they were able to get him into a program that met his needs. And too often, we forget that group of children. We see the group at the top when we talk about the kids in the middle. But the kids who go right through the floor, through those fine lines, through those crevices, those are the kids we also owe something to, because everybody else gets protected in a certain way. But those are children who go out looking for a job, and there's no diploma. What did you do for 13 years? And sometimes children just are not test takers. They may be able to have a whole conversation and tell you what they've learned, but putting pen to paper, they can't do it. And I think that you guys got it. You got the exact feeling of how we felt that night.
Go ahead, Dr. Lewis.
Okay, so I like to use data.
Of course you do.
And, you know, it sounds like a simple thing to have a pathway that does not include the regions. But let's look at our data. We had over the years, I'll just look at last year's, but we similar data every year. With 58 students in our graduating class who with IEPs, 5 graduated advanced regents with honors, 13 with advanced regents, 0 with regents with honors, 32 regents diplomas, 7 with local diplomas. So off the 58, there's only one student that graduated with the skills and achievement commencement credential, which is the one you're talking about. So I'm reticent to create a pathway for which 99% of our students, and it's every year, in fact, some years we have 0 graduating with that. Of the 5 years, we've only had 1 student graduate with that credential. All of our other students are graduating either with a Regents diploma or with the local diploma. And the local diploma means that with the new pathway that the commissioner, we had a graduation task force that just presented, and in fact in May the Board of Regents will be acting on it, that has our full support of the superintendents and the special education directors. It creates pathways for students. It's one diploma, not multiple diplomas. It's one diploma with different credentials. So it will be everyone will have a high school diploma, but they would have the advanced regents they would have the credential on it, whether it's an advanced regents, regents diploma, or local diploma. In addition, the task force has given permission for something called the superintendent's credentialing. So we can have students sitting in a Regents class who sat for the Regents, who got a 46, but because they've done everything to pass the course, the parents can appeal to the superintendent, and we had 2 students graduate last year with that. And they would be credentialed to have that course. They're also, and I think I said,
students with IEPs. Is that only for students with IEPs?
No, that I. You know what? I'm not sure whether it's only for students with IEPs. Yeah, I think so. I think so. But my point is that what the task force said is that you've got all these multiple options that don't make sense, which is what I'm agreeing with you with. That make it one diploma, but have it with different credentials on it. And so I feel that what's before the Board of Regents that's going to be voted on includes all of those options. And I think I provided you guys with what the superintendents and the guidance, PPS people are presenting to the state. So I feel that we have a pathway for children that we're presenting to the state.
And one of the things I really don't want to see us go back to is an era when we have children in classes for which, yes, they will graduate with a diploma, but they would graduate with no knowledge. So, for example, the famous math class that everybody keeps talking about, the financial math class? Financial algebra. It doesn't give you the content to do anything. Yes, trigonometry is very difficult. I'm not asking kids who can't do it to have to do it. Mm-hmm. But there is a certain level of content that students should be exposed to. One of the things that we talk about, and I talk about when I present on graduation, is the most important thing is exposure to content. So, for example, a student might be sitting in a college-level course. I'm not talking about those kids that we've just mentioned, but we say, why are you asking them to sit in a college-level course? Because the exposure to that content prepares them far more for the college experience than sitting in a class that doesn't challenge them. So I believe that even for a student who currently is getting a skills and achievement credential, which I don't believe in, because that credential is not accepted for the armed force, it's not accepted for employment. We're asking that there be one diploma, but there are different experiences that would lead to that diploma. So it's not, it might be that the child has the coursework, certain courseworks, but I really am not ready to say don't have kids exposed to an algebra class.
Well, I don't necessarily think that was what we were calling for. I think what Emily and I were thinking of was the student who is not an IEP student, you know, your typical student, not struggling to get through the coursework, but getting through.
Yeah.
Can't pass the Regents exams, no IEP, so the other options simply don't exist, and who just wants to, you know, follow a vocational path after high school. What's their option? They can't pass the Regents exams.
For POB, that's zero students.
Okay.
That's zero. We get our kids through. I'm telling you, I'm looking, we really don't have kids in that category. We don't.
That doesn't mean we never will. You know, I personally feel like maybe it's a very small subset of kids, but I feel like a certain
right.
population of kids is basically going to hit a wall and say, what's the point? What's the point?
My experience says, if you build it, they will come. If you build a low expectation for graduation, that's what the non-Regents diploma was. And we have lived through a situation where the majority of kids were in non-Regents courses, and only the elite were getting Regents diploma. Our kids, we have what's our percentage on Regents diploma? We don't have kids who are not IEP students not getting through. Our kids get through. Our teachers stand on their heads. I mean, they really do get through, but they are... But to say that the kids are not exposed to a Regents content, who are not, if they can't do it, they have an IEP. Non-IEP students can do the work. They can.
Dr. Lewis, you had shared with us, you had mentioned now, but you also shared with us that the superintendents and the
special ed directors. Yeah.
The one diploma with three designations.
Yes.
Is that what you had shared, that there's a college and career ready?
Yes.
A career and life ready?
Yes. Right.
And a life ready?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And
the same diploma.
Okay. And is that what's being presented next month?
Yes.
And in each of those, I don't know, is it a path? Is it a designation? Is it certification? Does Regents fall in one? So college and career ready is like an advanced Regents and a Regents path. I guess I'm consistent.
They're different paths to getting to this diploma.
So the concerns that we all share.
Yes, it is.
Concerns that we all share for those non-IEP students who struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And for those IEP, which designation does that fall under?
The Life Ready.
The Life Ready.
Right.
And so what would fall under
a... It could be the Career Ready or Life Ready.
Right. And what would be the Career and Life Ready? What's the difference between the...
One on the top of the page... On the second page,
right, which,
I can see it.
Right.
I can't.
So, but I'm saying that the college and career ready is
the first
it
one.
Is the first one.
That's really the right. Advanced Regents Diploma and the Regents Diploma.
Okay, and then the second one, which is the
more like the local diplomas, but basically you're not getting different. You're
but
not
you're,
getting
you're still
a local diploma.
But you're exposed to Regents level
right.
instruction,
which our kids are.
And those first two designations. Are what covers 99.9% of our students.
98%
of our students. And the students that Jody's mentioning that
right.
maybe we don't
that,
have now, but we have.
That used to be called the local diploma, but we're saying it should be a regular high school diploma with that designation.
And then the Life Ready covers?
Still a high school diploma. In other words, they'll all be eligible for a work and for... The
military service.
Which, by the way, the state has an obligation to do. They have an obligation.
Well, they don't.
To provide a pathway that leads to nothing in terms of career, you know, employment or is the very reason why we're saying you need one diploma. You need a diploma that will allow people to be employed. But at the same time, we believe that you should have different designations on the diploma.
Well, again, so a non-IEP student getting the life skills, life-ready diploma,
getting the high school
diploma. The high school diploma with the life-ready designation, how many Regents exams do they have to pass to get that?
None.
They don't have to pass Regents exams.
They have to take... the exam.
Okay.
They have to take a math and ELA.
Almost both saying the same
so
thing.
So even if they, so they have to take, so a non, a student without an,
content.
They have to be exposed right. to content, which I don't think we're in disagreement there. I think it was
but that's what,
the yeah. culminating exams. So you could not have an IEP, get through Regents level content, fail the Regents exams, yeah. but still get your diploma because you passed the classes.
Right.
And but you have to pass the course.
You have to pass the course,
right.
which,
yes.
Yeah.
Of course. Right.
You have to pass the course.
Right. That's
okay.
what that is, yeah. Which is what the local diplomas were.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what...
But then that's the life-ready designation, right? So then what's the...
It's the middle
what's the middle one, then? If the top one, if college and career...
And advanced regions?
Right now we have advanced regions, regions...
Jody, I mean, when we talk about kids that can't pass the exams, or I don't want to say can't, or
yeah,
for whatever mm-hmm. reason can are struggling passing these exams, I mean, as Lorna's saying, most of those children who pass the course or have taken the exam over and over again and we're trying to work with them, that clearly is a struggle for a population of our kids, but clearly designated on their IEP because of the learning disability that's preventing them from achieving that result.
Okay.
Are you more speaking about perhaps the student who's taking the class and maybe has some attendance issues, perhaps school phobia? I don't know, because...
I think we're all in agreement on the kids with the IEPs, how we need some sort of more reasonable option so that these kids can graduate with a meaningful credential, but where we're in disagreement is on the kids without IEPs. The kid who maybe just isn't a great student, who's going to follow a vocational path, wants to be a plumber, wants to be a carpenter, who just maybe
but you
struggling.
Want them to read.
We want
right.
them to read.
But, or pass the math
we want
right?
them to
exam
read.
To be able
so,
to...
Thank you, Seth. He brought it up. So the Career and Life Ready designation
yes.
would be a student who would earn a 55 on the math
okay.
or ELA.
Okay.
And it says just two of the indicators. These are the indicators. A CTE course sequence, mm-hmm. passing one. So that would be an indicator. A career certificate exam, so let's say they're doing electrical or plumbing, that would be an indicator. And completion of a career cluster. Now, that's four indicators, and you just need two of them.
And you don't need to pass?
No, you must be
55.
You don't have to. That's an indicator. There are four indicators.
Oh, just one is 55.
You need two. One of them, if you get a 55 on the Regents, a 55 on the ELA, that's one indicator. But it means that you're sitting through the course. Another indicator would be if you are in a career certificate exam. So if you're taking the plumbing, the electrical, cosmetology, that's the kid you're talking about,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. That would be an indicator. So it's rather than
so they would need
so the old
the
diploma
four.
Concept.
Don't have an IEP to be eligible for this.
No, that definitely not. But in addition, because it's a career and life ready designation, you also have to have some indicators on the career side, which is attendance has to be decent, because this is what you need for career. Workplace learning experience, so an externship or internship. It's a very comprehensive. This is a new way of looking at it. Right? You have it. I sent it.
Yes. She did send
I
it.
Did.
With the
I
update.
Did.
The update?
I did. It's in the update.
Oh.
By the way, community service. Okay. One of the indicators.
Okay.
So why don't we give Jody
so
some
it's
time.
Not about the Regents exam.
I just want to say something, and I appreciate what you just did. But I think, all in all, there has to be recognition that we have some kids who are struggling students. It doesn't mean they want to be absent. It doesn't mean that they can't or they won't. It means trying for them to take a test, maybe 10 times harder for somebody else. They want to be in school. They want to take those Regents courses. But we sometimes become academic snobs, and we forget that there are children who have a hard time in school and struggle every single day. They may find that sports is their outlet or music is their outlet or art, or they have to go to a BOCES type of course to survive and to make it. And I think when we sit here and we talk about it, we have to recognize that damn bell curve that we keep forgetting about, and that there are children who come in who are struggling, and to be able to find a way that they can be guaranteed a diploma so that when they leave, and if it's that option, and they can find those different pathways, that's an answer. But what we were looking at 2 weeks ago was not that.
Absolutely.
We were looking
this was our
at
response
a dead
to it,
end
yes.
for children.
This was our response.
And for people to turn around and not acknowledge that every single school district has a child or has two or three who go through that crack, and they come in and they say, I can't do it. Reading is hard. Math is harder. And every time I hear I have to take something else, I'm the kid in the class who fails. Just imagine being that kid going through school as the failure, as a kid who when they can see maybe God will be good and I'll get a 65. But that 65 takes hours and hours of studying and many, many times tutors. We have to remember those kids because they're part of our family. Maybe we don't see them today, like Jody said. They may be here tomorrow. They may be with our neighbors. And that's what we have to fight to make sure that when we talk about children, we're talking about 100% of our kids, not 98% or 99%.
And I just want to say one more thing. You know, tying back a little bit to our discussions during the grading committee, you know, the curriculum has gotten this much more rigorous, but the Regents exams have gotten this much more rigorous.
Yep.
We even see good students scoring much lower on the Regents exams than what they're doing in
Absolutely.
The classroom. So even a child who is successful in the classroom, maybe with a 71 or a 72 average, just might not be able to pass that fifth Regents exam.
Which goes into your average.
Exactly. And it's just, you know, the way things stand now, that could be completely cutting them off from any success in the future. And I think, you know, there are a bunch of Facebook pages dedicated to this issue, and on one of them, the mantra is 180 days matter. If a child is successful all year long in the class, even if it's moderate success or they're just passing, to have that 3-hour exam be the determining factor of whether or not they get a diploma is almost shameful.
I think you should look at that document. You really have to look at that document.
So why don't we send this back to the legislative committee? And then
you need to look at the current model that we have proposed. Because it speaks exactly to that.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you. That's okay. It's a good soapbox.
It's a good one, yeah.
Okay, next we're going to have an update on substance prevention in the high school.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you very much for inviting me to speak with you tonight about this topic. It's a very important topic. It's one that I've been thinking an awful lot about, especially after we learned of the third passing in pretty much a year and a couple of months of a POB graduate. And I think that was what precipitated the conversation and your invite for me to come to speak to you tonight. I think the school community does need to realize or be aware that those three students in particular, not that I'm here to speak specifically about them, because I'm not, but they were in their mid to late 20s. We weren't talking about students that were currently, young men that were currently students in our school. But that's not to say that we don't have a problem in our schools with drugs and other kinds of issues. I want to share with you what we've been doing and talk to you a little bit more about the things that I would like to do going forward. As you all know, that we have a POB has the mandated requirement for health education that is double the amount that the state requires, which I think is a wonderful thing. And I know over the years we've had some members of the community that have questioned that. And I am fully in support of keeping it the way that it is, because I think it is really very important. So much so important, though, I think that we probably should take a look at the curriculum, K through 12, to verify that what we're doing is sufficient. Because from my perspective and my interactions that I have with students as well as with staff, I think that we need to be attacking this at a younger age. Because they're coming to the high school already sharing with me their experiences that they've had already. So I think, and that's not to say that they're not doing it at a younger grade level, but I think that we need to take a look at exactly what they're doing and how much of it they're getting. At the high school right now, we're dealing with a significant problem with inhalants, which of course is against our district's code of conduct. Fortunately, because I've been able to use that an awful lot in my interactions and conversations with students. I actually brought one with me tonight in the event that you're not sure of what one looks like. But this is one that I actually was able to confiscate. Yeah, that's another name for them is an e-cigarette, vape, mod, or mop. I think it's mod, correct? Yeah, mods that they use for them. And the way these work is they'll plug it into the computer, so it'll heat it up. This will get charged, and it will heat this up inside. But what they'll do is they unplug it, and they purchase a liquid that screws in onto the other end, a clear liquid, comes in nice flavors, strawberry, cherry, all the banana, whatever you like, but that also is laced with other things, like cannabis oil. And the smell, you're not smelling now marijuana, you're smelling cherry, strawberry, whatever it is that you choose to smell. So this is this is not new technology either, by the way, but we're finding that this is what kids are doing. They could have regular nicotine in here, but they could also have other stuff, and that's exactly what we're finding. So that's what we are working on addressing with our students. Every single time I've confiscated one of these from a student and they have incurred consequences to the school, I'm also giving them a homework assignment of writing a report for me on the dangers of what they're engaging in, because they don't know it.
Did their parents get a letter?
I'm sorry?
Did their parents get notified?
Oh, absolutely. The parents are there with them. And the parents are just as shocked because they don't realize what this is. They don't realize, and what I'm trying to get the point across to the kids is that they don't realize what's in that liquid when they're purchasing that liquid from somebody else. And, you know, they then hopefully are learning that that they're getting hooked onto other things by thinking that they're just buying nicotine, a liquid form of it. So anyway, that is something that we are dealing with and we're really tackling head on. And I think that that's something that we also need to address greater in our health courses. Yes?
Do you find it more prevalent on one grade level as opposed to another?
The younger ones. Mm-hmm. Yep, younger ones. They're getting them over the internet, by the way. And this right here costs $185 to a student, but that's not what it costs online. Online, it cost, I think it was $107, the student told me, but he sold it for $185 because he had the credit card to purchase it and was able to get it and sell it to somebody else.
Now, I think this goes back to the need for better education in the middle school and maybe even down to the elementary level, not just for the students but for the parents. Because I will tell you, if you held that up, I would not have known what that was if you didn't explain it.
I'm glad I brought it then.
And there are so many, you know, you hear these stories now from the high school parents about all the crazy ways that the kids are consuming drugs and alcohol that I don't necessarily know if the younger parents know to be about the eye drops and, you know,
other things.
Many parents of younger children might still be looking for sort of the old school methods of drug and alcohol consumption and not realize that this is what the kids are doing to sort of, you know, make sure their breath doesn't smell. So, you know, I think, again, it's not just the kids, but the parents, because, you know, we might not realize that the kids have really, you know, started thinking outside the box about how to get
away. Wasn't that something, Lauren, that cop said that night to parents? What are you doing in your home that your kids are seeing? So it's reflective.
On May 4th, we have Stephen Dewey, who will be at Stratford Road. We also are part of a consortium of all the North Shore high schools at May 24th at Jericho. So we're trying our best to bring it to parents and to students.
What you also should know about that, this too, is, and the kids don't know it, is when they're trying to screw in the liquid form to the other end of it so they can then smoke it, they've got to be very careful, because if they get the liquid on their fingers will absorb that oil. So they're getting it in another way. Yes?
Jim, I don't mean to sound, you know, I'm not naive, but where are they getting $107 from, number one, and credit cards to buy online? But then also, I do see, I know parents who are not so upfront, and I'm sure kids see their parents doing this. I've seen people in restaurants doing this. I don't know what's inside of them. I don't ask them. But they're in restaurants doing this outside.
Yeah.
So I'm sure some of these that you're confiscating are in their homes. I mean, is that coming out as well?
Parents haven't admitted that to me. This one, actually, the parent didn't know that the child took her credit card and purchased it. So that was a whole other, I'm sure that was a whole other topic of conversation.
But don't they look at their bills?
I do. So anyway, just to tell you a little bit more about what we've been doing. Of course, we started back in June. We tackled it head on with the community forum that we ran at the school, which was a really good jump start for us. We had a decent enough turnout for it. It wasn't that great, but for the time of the year that it was, I wasn't unhappy, and also it being our first time. We plan on doing it again, but I've been working with my parent and administrator. I worked with my parent and administrator's advisory committee, as well as bringing it up with the site-based and the BAC, Billy Advisory Committee students. And the responses that I'm getting back are that I need to be doing something like this in the fall, as opposed to the end of the year when students are preparing more for AP exams and Regents exams. The mindset is a little bit different. So that is something that we have planning for in the works, and I have maintained my contacts with the people that I had speaking at it in June, and they're very, very interested in coming back again. In addition to that, we have our peer mentor program, which are those students working with students to get the points across. Our College 101 program, where in preparation for students going off to college, we have students that are coming back, are already off to college and come back on their breaks and talk to students about what it's like being a freshman. Are there drugs out there? How easy is it to get? The difficulties that they're facing. So they're fully aware, but they're also sharing this at a younger level, which is something that's new that we're starting. We have the SAD Club, of course, in the school, the Students Against Destructive Decisions, and they're working head-on on that. Ms. Jackson, one of our health teachers, a senior health teacher, has taken that on full force. She's been a wonderful resource for us in finding different programs and speakers for us that we can bringing into the school. Excuse me. We brought in Officer Groshen for Digital Citizenship Week. He was a guest speaker in the school, and the response that we had from the parents about him being here was outstanding. So we brought him in for our pre-prom parent meetings that we started this year. We did them a little bit differently. In the past, we had Sharon Lasher was our annual speaker for it. This year, we chose to bring in a speaker with Mr. Groshen, and overall, the responses were really good for him. That is a new presentation for him, so he did one already for us. We're going to be working on him for the second presentation that he's going to be doing after the holidays, just to tweak some things that may have been left out in the initial presentation. In addition to that, like I mentioned to you before, I do have that Parents and Administrators Advisory Committee. I do need to reconvene with them. I last met with them in January of 2017. So I want to update them on really what's been going on and the difficulties that we've been facing. Dr. Lewis mentioned the interfaith partnership that she's been working on. I have also been working on an interfaith partnership, but with Nassau and Suffolk counties. And they've been meeting in Centerport. So I've been working with them as well. It's been a good partnership, especially with Huntington so close by to us, and our students frequent that area quite often, that I've been working with them in particular. We also have the Plainview Fire Department, of course, did their community forum, which I'm happy that all of my administrators had attended that evening, which I thought was really very important for them to be able to hear as well and hear what's been going on. The speaker, the speakers that night were very powerful, and it was a packed audience. I was very happy with that turnout. We created the Healthy Hawks Club several years ago, and that's all about making good, healthy decisions, and that is one of the topics that they've taken on to try and help spread the message to students about the dangers of things like this that students aren't really unaware of. In addition to things talking about drugs, the Healthy Hawks Club also does about fitness and eating properly, getting enough sleep, mental health as well, all of those type of topics. I am working with Mr. Braco to reach out, of course, to our Varsity Leaders Club, because from the athletic perspective, we have athletic leaders in our building that I think that they could be helping to spread the message out to helping to get students to make better decisions and make better choices, healthy choices, and to do something about it. When they see it happen, to help get that child some help. Dr. Lewis mentioned the effects of drug abuse on the brain, the adult presentation by Dr. Stephen Dewey that's going to be taking place on Thursday, May 4th from 7 to 8:30 at Stratford Road. I'm really looking forward to hearing Dr. Dewey speak in person. The Jericho High School Partnership on May 24th. Ms. Shack, one of our assistant principals, went to that meeting last Friday, I believe it was. A tough day to be out of the building, but it was that important for her to be able to attend. And the reason why it was so important for her to be able to attend is that we are going to be placing a role in that forum at that night. I'm calling it a forum. I'm not exactly sure if it is a forum, but anyway, a bunch of districts will be taking part in it, including Plainview. We shared the Pride Results Survey, and we actually included some of those slides on our electronic boards in our hallway because we want to keep students informed about the results of that survey and what we've learned from it. This Pride Survey, as you know, we've been doing that since 1998, and it's for 6th graders, 8th graders, 10th, and 12th. So every 2 years, starting with the 6th grade, our students participate in that. And I've noticed, looking at the results, yes?
Excuse me. One of the things, and I didn't even realize it,
is that when you do 6th graders, 8th graders, you know, it's the same kids.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, we might want to think about
changing that up.
You know, I mean, one way it's good that you take the same kids all the way through, but you always miss one grade level. You know,
I'll talk to Joe Breaker about that.
Yeah, I just wondered if we could. Yeah,
yep, that was good.
It wasn't my idea. Somebody said it, and I just.
I was going to say you're really on still at 9 o'clock at night.
It was not, and I don't remember who it was, but thank you for bringing that up. Anyway, it's always the same. Was it Paula? It sounds like a Paula idea.
Okay. No.
Looking at the results in the Pride survey, though, although I can't say I'm entirely pleased with the amount of drug usage taking place, especially with the senior class, according to the results, it really has not increased. It actually has decreased, but it's still too high. And you know, we're not getting the entire population being tested because it's half the population of the health courses that are doing it. We've had Detective Stark coming in most recently, I think it was last week or the week before, visiting our health classes. She's the same speaker that presented last year at our community forum. She's a regular in our health classes talking about the consequences of drug usage. Joe Breako, is looking at Chris Herron, a former NBA player who goes on and speaks to, you know, high school students about his life story, his personal story, and really how his career ended as a result of his participation in drug usage. And as you know, you have supported in this budget an additional $5,000 for potentially doing a program like Challenge Day. Challenge Day is quite costly, so I am looking at doing that potentially with another school district because we have to bring them in. So another district that is having them in, and we can work together on that, and hopefully we could look at doing it for a certain percentage of our school. But I will, of course, be bringing you greater updates on that as we know more information. I am working with them already. I've reached out to them. I have all of the information, but we're looking at dates, and based on the dates of their availability and when they're going to be in the area, we'll be able to determine just exactly what kind of program we want to go with. So, as I mentioned before, I did want to suggest some recommendations, and that would be, of course, revisiting the health curriculum district-wide. I'm not sure when the last time that had taken place, but I think that would be a good thing, and you know, for us to revisit. An increase, of course, emphasis on drug education at the middle school level, and I would like to be a part of that if it means bringing my students down as school leaders, because them hearing from other students I think would be great. I would like to invite the PTA to work with us further, which they always are, but to bring programs to our schools. And I know that they would embrace that opportunity to work together for that. And of course, we have to continue to take a strong stand against drug usage when it occurs in our school. I think our students know that when we find out who they are, when it's discovered, the consequences are cut and dry. We're consistent, we're fair, but we come down firm on it because we have zero tolerance for it when it comes down to it. And fortunately, we have a code of conduct that supports that. It makes it very easy for us when we are demonstrating it to our parents that it's all very clear. It's black and white. We remind our staff all of the time, and students too, when you see something, say something. And you know, that just happened today. I have to tell you, a teacher in a stairwell happened to see students with the e-cigarette, and the teacher did the right thing, reported it to us, and it was 1, 2, 3. Unfortunately, that has to happen, but but it's a good thing in the sense that we're working together to try and stop it. And I'm very happy to see that the district, and finally, my final remark is not finally.
Not that we're doing it.
Exactly. Right. Is that supporting the drug and alcohol counselor for the district. I think that it's an important thing, and I'm looking forward to working together with the candidate.
Jim, I think everything you said was fantastic, and I loved your suggestion about the high school kids coming down. I would love for the middle school kids to visit the fourth graders, because they also have some kind of knowledge going into the middle school, and I think that whatever they could learn that will educate them to make better decisions would be great. So
that's a good
thank
idea.
You for
great
everything
idea.
You've
no,
said.
You.
You're doing a great job.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, there's a great speaker, Father Frank Panzarelli,
oh, yeah.
from Hope House Ministries for Youth out of Port Jefferson, and there is not a dry eye when he gets through speaking, and he talks just not about drugs and alcohol, but about consequences.
He's and still making presentations?
I'm not sure, but...
Yeah, I wasn't sure if he is.
I don't know. I mean, I saw him
connection.
Maybe 5 years ago, but...
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But if we could get someone like him, I mean that...
What's his last name again?
Pizzarelli.
Father Frank, okay. I'll look him up.
Hope House Ministry.
Yeah, Hope House Infant Jesus.
Yep.
He really, when he spoke here many, many years ago, had a tremendous impact on parents.
And kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's in the Hope House is in Port Jefferson.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he's always been fantastic. We've seen him so many times. God is terrific.
But and I thank you for everything that you're doing, because I think it's important, the awareness, the notification, and kids just really don't understand what they're doing. I mean, that's something that they miss that cue. But when we look at the heroin usage that's going on, it's all over the island. It is so high. And no matter how many task force there are and everything else, the kids are getting this stuff. And whether they're smoking it, whatever they're doing, injecting it, it doesn't matter. It's cheap. It's almost cheaper than pop for a lot of these kids. But a lot of this stuff is laced with real bad stuff. And many of the overdoses are that they just didn't know it was in that needle. They thought they were buying something and it wasn't. So, you know, I just think the more information we can keep feeding out, and I agree, this is an elementary problem.
Absolutely.
Because too many times the kids see it, it's glorified, they watch it, and, you know, that bar bomb, it's was. You're watching those fast hands taking all the drinks off the trays and everything else. But a lot of kids find this stuff in the house.
Yep.
They don't have to look too far.
Yep.
Bags of popcorn, you know, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I think that we have to educate our parents also. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
But
yep.
Thank you. I think everything you're doing is great.
And if you have any other suggestions, I'm always all ears. Thank you.
Yeah, take them to a rehab place where somebody's going through the DTs.
Do you know, I have to tell you, my niece goes through the Smithtown schools, and last week they had drug-sniffing dogs in their schools. Do you believe it?
Yeah. Have them in Three Village.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that threatening to take the kids and seeing someone going through withdrawal.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Jim, thank you so much.
And thank you very
you
much.
You know that we are behind you 100%. And if you need resources for these things, please come to us.
Definitely will. And thank you again, by the way, all for your support this past week. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Now we're going to go on to public participation. District policy number 1510.1 provides that persons wishing to make comments or raise questions shall, one, state their name and address, and, two, indicate on whose behalf they are speaking if a non-resident. The policy prohibits public discussion on matters relating to staff and students at which their reputation, privacy, or rights to due process, or those of others, could in some way be violated. We thank you in advance for being respectful of all speakers and staff members. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes. The floor is now open.
This is being recorded and available on
Yes. We could add that to our statement.
Hi, my name is Meredith Lewin.
I don't think it's the mic. Okay.
Am I tall enough?
You could take it out and hold it if you want.
I'm Meredith Lewin. I live at 136 Orchard Street in Plainview, and I'm representing myself. I had a little trouble looking at the budget. I'm curious about what's going to be done at Fern Place on the, as far as like ground maintenance. Are you restoring that baseball diamond that's over near the water district substation? And what's being done on the school side of the property? You know, where the ground has been all chewed up from the cars parking. Are you restoring that? Are you?
We're looking.
The baseball field is getting its normal maintenance. Part of our agreement with the town of Oyster Bay when they put in the Challenger Field was to do a little bit of leveling on that field also. But other than that, we're not doing any additional work, and we didn't budget to expand that area for parking. Certainly parking is still tight at Fern Place.
Thank you. Anybody else?
I am Jessica Corbett. I live at 222 Floral Avenue. And I'm here representing my daughter and everyone like her who will not be able to pass Regents exams. Okay, I'm sorry I missed it, but I guess it was a perfect night because I've been at the table, the kitchen table with my daughter for the last 3 hours because she has an English test tomorrow, a social studies test, and a radio exam on Friday. All right, I don't know how far we got because her attention span is very limited and she spent the entire day in school failing because she can't handle the curriculum of the Regents track classes. So I'm sorry, but I respectfully disagree with anyone who thinks nothing should be done and the status quo is okay, because it's not. Come to my house. Live in my house. All right? Because it's not okay. We need to bring back the RCT. I understand what happened. I understand the history of education. I know what was going on in the special ed classrooms, but you went from one side to the other where it's just not fair to these kids. It is just simply not fair to them. It's not fair to their families. It's not fair to my other two children who I give zero attention to because I'm sitting at a table for 3 hours after school for something that she probably will never pass. And why isn't she entitled to a high school diploma? We're not doing brain surgery. It's a high school diploma. It's going to all be okay if she has a high school diploma at the end of high school. And she deserves it. Why would she even want to bother to go to school anymore if she knew she was going to come out of it with nothing? What would be the motivator? And right now, there aren't any options because with all the rhetoric and all the nonsense that people are saying, there is one diploma, basically, because they're all tied to high-stakes testing, okay? All of them. You must pass Regents exams. Okay, excuse me, not pass, get a 55. They're all contingent upon high-stakes testing, and that's the way it is. And for some kids, they'll just never be able to pass that. So I really, really implore of you to take this seriously, because there's no reason that I should give up on my 14-year-old daughter and seal her future today when I have to put her in life skills where nobody thinks she belongs, but there's no other choice. But I'd be sealing her fate. I'd be telling her that that's it. You're not going to get a job. You're not going to get a high school diploma. You're going to be living off the state, because that's what's going to happen to you without a high school diploma. And please don't talk to me about the CDOS, because it's not a high school diploma. It's a worthless piece of paper.
Thank you.
One of the things, Mrs. Corbett, you missed is what I believe is going to be before the Board of Regents in May is exactly addressing your issue. That is some other options besides
what you're saying, the 55 on the regions. We currently have that option in terms of the superintendent's designation, but your child has to pass a course. So that's the piece that any child has to pass a course. It's not about the Regents exam with the superintendent's designation. They have to take the Regents, but they don't have to get a 65 or even a 55. There is a, but you have to pass the course. So somebody has to speak with you about the superintendent's designation. And but you have to pass
back and forth.
So if so but that means in general it's about, so I'd be happy to have somebody speak to you about that, but it, but in general you have to pass a course.
Are willing to play tutors. Unfortunately for us, tutoring is not an option because after school she's done, she's spent, she's had it.
So that's a specific.
You know, but
right.
Because it's 1% yeah. Doesn't mean it doesn't matter.
Okay.
That's a specific.
Thank you. Well, but the discussion's over, so thank you. Perhaps the superintendent can get in touch with you and talk further about your specific situation.
Good evening. Jacques Wolfner, 151 Sutton Drive. I, as your representative to the BOCES Budget Study Committee, I want to call your attention to the fact that you are invited to the BOCES board meeting tomorrow evening, and that there will be a vote. Anybody in our school district is eligible to vote on the BOCES budget. I believe that's April 20th.
Yes, we will be voting on the BOCES budget on April 20th.
Okay. And one other thing, I want to wish all members of the board and the administration happy holidays.
Thank you, and to you too.
Paula Barsky, 30 Cornell Drive in Plainview. I just wanted to thank the board for including the clubs for the elementary schools in the budget. I know that was something that we brought to you when we met with the Board of Education, so I appreciate that. On another note, I want to say that I am a little disappointed on the Chromebooks, specifically for those non-accelerated 11th grade kids that will be mixed with the 10th grade, and I had hoped that somewhat resolution or some way of working out giving those children Chromebooks to take home would have come to light, but I guess it didn't. So I guess I explained that in an email I had sent. So I am disappointed, but again, I just wanted to thank you for the elementary clubs. Thanks.
Thanks, Paul. Anybody else?
Gary Batan, 17 Frankie Lane. I wanted to compliment you guys on great work on a phenomenal budget. When you can come in at, you know, under 2% budget to budget, under 1% tax levy, that really shows you're taking into account, you know, the needs of the community. You're also still investing in infrastructure, equipment, the additional support you put in the school for the children. I just think you guys are doing a great job. I would like to correct that when you talk about leaving $1 million on the table, I think you should consider it leaving $1 million in the taxpayers' pockets, because that's really what you did, and that's something that should be a positive, not a negative. On a different subject, to talking about diplomas, we have a nationwide shortage of skilled tradespeople. And one of the problems we have is that the people themselves, the parents, think of working with your hands as being, you know, I don't want that for my child. It's not a good thing. BOCES has phenomenal programs. These are great career opportunities for kids, and a skilled tradesman makes over $100,000 after just 2 or 3 years on the job. If the guy or gal who's in that trade has the ability of a little background with some business or acumen with people, they can get $200,000, $250,000 to be a foreman or a manager on these sites. I talk to people in all over Long Island in construction who can't hire people. we're talking about rebuilding the infrastructure of this country, and we don't have skilled tradespeople. So what I'd just like to have us keep doing is keep funding the money we're doing towards BOCES and their programs, and maybe working with our guidance councils to kind of remove that stigma, so that when there is a child who has that path, it can be seen as a positive, very, very important, fulfilling job, not just for themselves, but for the country and for their community, and it pays really well, a lot more than a barista at Starbucks that a lot of kids graduate from college and end up doing. It's hard term, but still. So just, you know, I'd like to hear that vocational discussions keep going and keep encouraging, because it's just such an important thing, and maybe not for our community as much, but when you've got that gift to work with your hands and build things, that's a wonderful thing. It should be really encouraging. I just like to hear, I thought the discussion was a great discussion. Let's just keep those vocational options available for our children.
We agree, and I will also say that we asked our director of guidance to relook at the list of options available to our students at BOCES and make recommendations if she feels that there are other courses that we are not participating in right now that we should.
Great. Fantastic. Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays. You too.
Debbie, can I just comment?
Yeah, sure.
Lori Lynn, myself, and Dr. Lewis actually sat down and reviewed the BOCES list and has made some recommendations of just adding some of those courses. But Gary referenced, you know, working with the counselors, the guidance counselors, and really promoting some of those vocational programs. Or, and I know from personal reference of a parent in the district who said, they brought their kids into their, have their 11th grade meeting with their counselor, and the counselor actually spoke to these two boys about the options out there, and not just necessarily plumbing or electrical, but, you know, working like with on a turf field, or like how much other programs or careers out there that aren't just the typical teacher, lawyer. And really the other things, and I do think our counselors are, you know, bringing things to the kids' attention that perhaps they might not have considered, and then pointing them in the right direction where they get those skills, or by attending a two-year or a four-year school, they might be exposed to those different options. But again, you know, emphasis on math and science, and, you know, maybe they're not going to get those 80s or 100s, but certainly participating in the course.
Thanks, Jill.
Hi. I live at 7 Redwood Drive. Thank you. And I'm here on behalf of my son, Michael. Thank you for the opportunity to address a serious concern. The concern is in regards to the district's choice at some point in time to move the kindergarten cutoff date from the state's guideline of December 1st to December 31st. This decision to extend the date negatively impacts children born in December, and more specifically and significantly, December children with special education needs. It forces parents with special needs children to place their child in a district special education kindergarten or an approved special education kindergarten outside of the district, when the child may not be mentally, physically, or socially ready for any kindergarten setting. Parents have a choice to withhold the student from kindergarten because it's not mandated by the state. However, the child would be deprived of the special education classroom environment provided by an approved special education pre-K program. There are over 50 school districts in Nassau County. I personally called every district and found only 3 districts do not use the state's cutoff date of December 1st. They include Plainview, Mineola, and Oceanside. I hope the board finds these numbers to be as surprising, confusing, and disproportionate as the community members I have discussed it with. Our students are not on a level playing field with 50 other districts. It should also be noted that the district has acknowledged on 2 separate occasions the negative impact of this cutoff date for December children and December children with special needs. I would respectfully request the board to look into a few things. One, When was the date moved to December 31st? 2, why was it moved? 3, what is the benefit for extending the date for our children?
December 31st.
My hope is the board will strongly consider moving the date to December 1st, or keep the date and adopt language to protect all students negatively affected by the current December 31st cutoff. I have no doubt the board always has the community's best interest in mind when considering policy, and I know this includes the special needs community. Thank you again for providing a forum to bring this to your attention.
Thank you, Mr. Dugan, and we will consider what you've asked. And we do always consider all of our children, you're right. So thank you. Okay, seeing no other speakers, public participation is now closed. Thank you for your input. Can I get a motion for routine business? Rennell, second. Lauren, any discussion, hold, separations? All those in favor? Okay. Can I get a motion to approve a foreign exchange student from Thailand for the 17-18 school year? Ginger?
Did you say exclude?
Include. I said approve a foreign exchange student. I didn't say include or exclude.
Okay. You're hearing things.
Sorry.
Jody, a second. Discussion? All those in favor? Can I get a motion for the terms and conditions for the administrative assistant 1, human resources for 16-17 school year? Seth? A second. Ginger? All those in favor? Can I get a motion to amend policy 7515, student wellness? Ginger? Rennell? Discussion? I have a question. Did we address, we got a couple of comments?
Any comments that were made in there were addressed?
Were addressed in.
Fabulous. Okay, thank you. Then all those in favor? Can I get a motion to approve Regents review sessions for middle schools? Ginger, second. Lauren, discussion? All those in favor? Can I get a motion to approve the 2017-2018 academic calendar? Ginger? Lauren, questions? I have a question. Did we get any comments on that when we posted it? Okay. All those in favor? Yes.
If I just ask one question. If I was to attend next month's meeting, some of the things that I brought up, would that be addressed at that time?
I can't answer you at this time. We will. It would be on the agenda. Okay. The superintendent will reach out to you.
Okay.
Can I get approval of the property tax report card for the 2017-2018 school year?
Which one? The one I just read?
No.
Oh. Ginger, a second. Rennell, all those in favor?
Okay.
First, we're doing this?
Yes.
Can I get a motion for approval to change the location for the POB JFK High School field trip? Ginger, Seth, discussion? All those in favor? Okay, and can I get a motion for the resolution to adopt the school budget? Seth, a second.
You want to say it?
Lauren, the recommendation is that the Board of Education adopts the 2017-2018 school budget in the amount of $152,196,856. This amount to be updated once the modifications list is finalized. With a
corresponding tax levy of $121,020,994. All those in favor? Thank you. Lauren?
So, you know, a couple of us went to Denver last week, and we'll discuss that at a later Board of Ed meeting, but I took one of the classes called Engaging Your School Community Through Social Media. Don't get so excited there, Gary. But one of the great ideas that this New Jersey school did mention was to get the word out there, as we've all been discussing. I know, Mr. Murray, you mentioned it as well. So I was wondering if we can put a link on our Facebook page for the budget, now that it's been adopted, and let the community know, since unfortunately not, you know, not everybody can make it tonight, I'm sure, and so we can get the word out there, and maybe some bullet points as to some of our exciting new points of pride that are on our budget. Yes?
Yes.
Great. Thank you. Then can I have a motion to enter into executive session for matters of personnel? Rennell, Ginger, all those in favor? Thank you. I'd like to wish everybody a happy holiday, and we'll see you at our next meeting. Thank you.